Hey friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivy podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I am so excited that you're here. If you've just joined us for the first time today, I want to say welcome. Every week I invite a girlfriend to join me on the show and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between. Last week's episode with Jen for the Christmas special was so much fun and it holds so much goodness that I encourage you to check it out if you haven't. You know, it's Thanksgiving this week if you live here in America. Small business shopping Saturday is on Saturday. Online shopping Monday. Black Friday shopping Friday, which I do not participate in because that sounds like the craziest thing ever. All that to say, there's a lot of shopping things happening. And so if you're looking for good gifts that really go to a good cause and make a difference, I have tons of options for you from that episode last week. If you want to listen to it, it's episode number 63. If you just want to read about it, go to jamieivy.com. Great places for you to spend your money. And I hope you've been following me on Instagram because I've been giving away lots of great stuff. I even have a few more things this week, so come follow me on Instagram at jamieivy. Today's show is sponsored by The Burlap Cottage. In our busy world, holidays are as special as you make them. This includes your home and your most special gifts. A gift of artistry and handmade craftsmanship that lasts a lifetime and bears precious memories is the hallmark of The Burlap Cottage. The finest burlaps, flannels, and plaids, with the richness and warmth of Christmas past, with a nod to the current, create the perfect custom piece to give and cherish. Tree skirts, pillows, stockings, all personalized for that special keepsake. Visit their site at theburlapcottage.com, and listeners to the Happy Hour podcast can use the code HAPPYHOUR20, and you're going to receive 20% off through November 30th. The Burlap Cottage, which is artistry that celebrates the special occasions of your life. So check them out, theburlapcottage.com, for 20% off all your purchases through November 30th. Today's show is episode number 64, and my guest is Carrie Sowers. Carrie is the co-founder and executive director of Place, which is a conversation on mentoring, relationships, and reconciliation, and serves as in-house counselor for the Mentoring Project. Carrie is an avid gardener, previously tending an urban rooftop garden in Los Angeles and launching an organic teaching garden for the disadvantaged in inner city Portland. Carrie mentors young nonprofit leaders and facilitates leadership retreats for female entrepreneurs seeking to strengthen the innovative sisterhood. She is the author of the forthcoming book, River Over Rocks. She's passionate about building leadership skills into girls and young women. She travels often but makes her home in Oklahoma City with her husband and their two daughters. Today on the show, Carrie and I chatted about all the things that she's passionate about. We talked about mentoring, we talked about gardening, and she really encouraged me in taking small steps for a garden. And I've wanted a garden forever, and we just recently bought a new house, and having more space, I really think that this garden thing might be a reality for me next year. I loved our conversation, and I really could have chatted with her for hours, and I know I say that about all my guests, and it's really true, but I really could have chatted with Carrie forever, and I look forward to the day when we really do get a real-life, in-person happy hour. So guys, enjoy our conversation. Here is Carrie Sowers. Yay. Hi, Carrie.
Hi. How are you?
Great. Welcome to the happy hour.
Thank you.
What were you doing right before you got on the phone, right on this call?
Working? Trying to get on Skype. Oh, no. Before trying to figure out Skype?
Yeah, before that.
I came home from Whole Foods, threw all the groceries in the refrigerator, mm-hmm. high-fived the babysitter, mm-hmm. and pulled out of the driveway.
You came did like a little tag team?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she stayed there. The babysitter stayed.
Yeah, the babysitter's at the house. I'm at the office.
Awesome. Do you do all your shopping at Whole Foods? Random question.
Pretty much. I don't when we're in Portland, but in Oklahoma, yes.
Okay. All right. Now fill me in because we've only met one time. Is that correct?
Right. Well, I think so. I really continue to believe that I knew you when you were a camper at Kanakuk.
Oh my gosh.
Or maybe like you interviewed to be a counselor.
Okay. I was never a camper.
Okay.
But I was a counselor.
So you were a counselor. Because I did a whole year of my life. I went on trail for Kanakuk because I worked for them full time.
Okay.
And I did almost maybe like a fourth to 40% of the female counselor interviews.
What year?
Okay. 2000 to 2001.
Okay. I interviewed in 2000. What if you interviewed me?
I probably did because I did almost all of the interviews. So okay. Obviously I gave you a job. So
you
I'm
gave
glad
me a job. Thank you.
Good judgment.
Okay. So let me give you a little backstory about that. So that was 2000. So that was I was in college still dating uh-huh. my husband. It was my last summer before we got married. And I had like grown up in the church, but I had really just started following Jesus like a year before that. Okay. And so I come into this interview and I'm thinking, there's no way they're going to hire me. Like, there's just no way. Like, I have been through, I've made some really poor choices. I mean, I grew up in the church. I knew all the things you needed to know, but I had just started, like, I love Jesus. I'm going to give him my whole life and my heart and follow him like a year before.
Awesome.
And so I went in and I was just completely honest and told them everything and da-da-da. And they, and y'all hired me. You hired me.
I hired all the renegades.
I mean,
the next year, they were like, Carrie, because they track, like, you know, from the job offers the year before. Uh-huh. And then, you know, if there are any hiccups or, you know, issues with counselors, the next year they do like percentage of like accurate interview or whatever you would say. Uh-huh. And I didn't necessarily win that metric, but I fell in love with nearly everyone I interviewed.
Let me tell you what, working at Canicook that summer, it's part of that whole year was like life changing for me, because it's when I started following Jesus. I was like changing my life, dropping a lot of things out of my life, adding things. I mean, just so many things happened to me in that year.
That's awesome.
That
and which camp did you work at?
I worked at K-Country.
Okay, because I interviewed for K-Country, K-7, Kids Across America, and K-Colorado.
What a fun job you had.
It was. It honestly, it was the best job. Because Canicook does those movie nights. Mm-hmm. You go to the college campuses. And so I was on a different college campus nearly every night. So you do the video the night before and then interviews the next day. It was a blast.
That's so fun. Okay, so tell me this. What would be like something that someone said that you would think, you might not be the best candidate for this?
I think anyone that didn't like straight – there were a couple people that were straight out that were like, I don't know about this Jesus deal, but I really love sports.
And you're like, well, it's kind of like a big deal at this camp.
Right. It's kind of both.
Yeah.
Like you have to dig both of them.
Right.
So or some people – you felt like they were interviewing because all their friends did, but they didn't actually want to do it. Mm. And so you just kind of got the feeling from them that they want you to say no. Like they want to say, I did it. I interviewed.
Yeah.
But they really don't want the job.
I cannot even imagine going through all that trouble when you don't really want it. Like that's just not my personality. I'm like, that's a waste of time.
Yes, for everybody.
For you're thinking the same thing. You're like, you're wasting my time. Well, Canicook, we've just been chatting about it, but it's a Christian sports camp in Missouri, and I just loved my time there so much.
Yes, and ironically, that is where I met my husband, John.
Was he a counselor as well?
He was a counselor when I was a camper. A little bit of a scandal.
I need to hear this.
I know. We didn't actually date. I'm not good at doing math on the fly. I want to say 5 years later we dated.
Okay, but did you meet him when you were a camper, or was it just like y'all were dating and you're like, oh, I think I was a camper when you were a counselor?
No, going deeper into Canicook land, so sorry for other people. It was the year he and I met, I was one of the princesses. So you know how you do the like counselors and the princesses and the chiefs like plan some of the parties? So he was a medicine man for one of the chiefs. So that's how we met.
Okay. I don't think we did that at K-Country.
Probably not.
No, we had babies. I had little kids at mine.
Yeah. I was at the high school camp. So K-2.
Yeah. My kids were kindergarten through fifth grade, and they would come for 2 weeks, which at the time I was just like, you know, here I am a college student. Like, I cannot imagine someone sending their kids off for 2 weeks.
But they love it.
They love – that's the thing. They love it, you know, and that would be hard. Now I have kids. I'm like, that'd be hard, but my kids would love it.
I know. Mine would too. I don't think I could handle it as a mom, mm-hmm. but they would love every second of it.
Yeah. And I think as they get older, like my 11-year-old, I would miss him, but I would also see like, oh, he's ready for this. Like this is okay. This is a thing. But when they're 4, you can't imagine that ever happening.
Right. And I think my first summer as a camper was when I was 12. And back in the day, they used to have 3-week terms. Now I think they just have 2 and 4. Uh-huh. But anyway, I started when I was 12, and it was a good time because you're starting to, put your feelers out for who are you separate from your parents, and do you always want to do what your friends want to do? No. And, you know, you're starting to work out some of those things. So it was a good time.
So you've been working with teenagers and young adults basically your whole life?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Other than, when I Yes, also, because even when I was practicing law, I still was doing a mentoring program every Thursday in Los Angeles. So, yeah, I was doing like, let my life flash through my eyes. Yeah, I don't think I've taken a break from that.
That's great.
It's been a passion for a long time.
Okay, so you and I met at, I think, the Hatmakers HGTV premiere. Is that where
party. Yes.
Which was fun. And I was just talking to my husband right before we got on the phone, and I was telling him who I was about to talk with. And I think – I'm going to mess it up here, but I think that Aaron went to D.C. for some event that your husband was also at, some kind of mentoring event at the White House.
Yeah, John was – I don't know. He's been a couple times, but in 2012, John was honored as a champion of change at the White House for mentoring. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was that, or he's also on the task force for fatherhood and healthy families.
I think that's what it was, actually. That sounds more familiar. That. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's amazing.
Well, John just totally thinks Aaron is the bomb.com. So
I do too. He's a sweet one. He's actually leaving tonight. Do you know what Breakaway is? Breakaway
No.
Ministries? Okay, well, it's in College Station here at Texas A&M. And we first moved here. They used to go play down there all the time. And he's going back tonight to play.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
But he hasn't done it in forever. And they get home at like 2 in the morning. So
that's
I just
awesome.
Said goodbye for 12
hours. Leave him out some milk and cookies. You'll see him in the morning.
Welcome home. Yeah, exactly.
Love you.
Yes.
See you tomorrow.
Okay, so Carrie, fill me and my listeners in. This question is like, we could talk for hours on this, but what do you and your husband, when I say this, I'm like, this is such a large question. What do you and your husband do?
Well, he is the president of the Mentoring Project. So that is, as the name suggests, a mentoring organization. So the organization, and he and Donald Miller started it back in Portland way before I was involved, other than just the wife. You know, like I was like, that's awesome what you guys are doing. I'm over here in this other lane. So I'm going to kind of talk about the Mentoring Project in third person a little bit. I came on staff like 2 years ago. But the Mentoring Project exists to recruit and train mentors. They started out looking for male mentors for young men. Because when they were talking to others in the mentoring community, they said, you know, boys just sit on these waiting lists for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Some of them graduate high school before they're ever matched with a mentor. Mm. And women actually do a pretty good job volunteering, and girls usually can get a mentor within a year of mom or grandma or a guardian signing them up. So they started with this big focus on how do we recruit men of high character to get involved in mentoring and show them that that is a pinnacle issue in their community. And John put together a toolkit, and it just started taking off fast, which was awesome. As soon as they started explaining it, and John really advocates for this is the best use of your time and community dollars is investing in mentoring instead of on the back end, because nobody likes juvie, nobody likes drug interventions,
right?
Nobody likes teen pregnancy, you know, all those things. Mentoring is a proven preventative factor, and it's positive and it's fun and it's engaging. And so the Mentoring Project directly runs mentoring organizations in Portland, Oregon, and Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. We have offices in those two metro areas. And then we do consulting and training for people to open a mentoring effort or expand a mentoring effort in their own community.
Gotcha.
So there's about 300 communities in North America that we consult on their mentoring programs. And so clients are Big Brothers, Big Sister.
Okay,
and
that's who I was thinking.
Boys and Girls Club. Mm-hmm. And a lot of churches start mentoring organizations, and we help them work through what is best for the kids in their neighborhood. Let's say, you know, like, I'll just make a first church on Main Street or mm-hmm. whatever wants to start a mentoring organization. We really work through it with them to let them know what kind of staffing is involved if you want to do it well, and how do you do matching, and maybe if you don't have enough staffing, you need to partner with a community organization that is mentoring, and you disciple and train the mentors, kind of partner for the matching, and then you both hold the hands of the mentor and the mentee mm-hmm. after the match is made. So we do that, and that's a huge part of what we do, because sometimes people say, hey, come open an office in our community. We'd love to have the mentoring project here. And if we had unlimited resources, we would love to be there. But we think the better use of our time is, you know, trading expertise right. so that somebody who's already invested in a community, they already know the kids, they already know all the players and their risk factors and the positives and the schools and the principals, et cetera. We would rather train that leader or group of leaders on how, you know, the nuts and bolts of running a mentoring organization than take the time. You know, it takes what, 3 to 4 years to really become a part of a community.
Yeah.
And so we'd rather just invest in the people who are already a part mm-hmm. of the community and really equip
and know
them.
They know their people.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. And every mentoring organization has to look different.
Yeah.
There's no cookie cutter solution. And go ahead.
So y'all were in Portland. Is that why it started there?
Right, right. And John was on the board of what was called the Belmont Foundation. Don Miller started it. It's the organization he talks about in A Million Miles in a Thousand Years. John was on the board. He actually had his own mentoring organization in Los Angeles called Fatherless Generation Project. And when the mentoring cluster in Portland wanted to move into the consulting and training piece, they asked John if he would take it over. And a couple times he said no, and then they really said, you know, we think this is the best. And then he said yes, and then the name changed to the Mentoring Project, and then the equipping and the training focus really became a big part of what they're doing, because that's when they decided, instead of having a ton of offices, we are better to mentor the mentors.
Right. Basically. Yeah. And so what do you do for them?
So I run the conference. Okay. That is next week. We're so excited about that. This is our second year of our conference. This year we're calling it Place, and we're talking about relational belonging, that's really the gift we want to give to all the kids that we mentor, and we hope all kids find relational belonging. And for some people like me, I was lucky enough to find that relational belonging in my family and in my home and in my church community. And I felt like I had a lot of positive adults on my team growing up. So I'm kind of the opposite of John's story. But for the kids that aren't able to find their relational belonging either at home or at their school community or at their church community, we want to help people build that relational belonging through mentoring to really invest in their life.
Okay, so this Place conference, we're recording this in the middle of September. So by the time this yes. airs, it will have already happened. But right. I believe that you said, or that I read, that you're doing it again in the spring.
Well, we're doing it probably next September. We're like back and forth on September, October.
Okay.
And it will be in Portland next year.
Oh, so I've never been to Portland.
Girl, you got to come. You might not leave, though. Be careful.
It's September, October. I've heard there's like certain seasons when you should visit Portland. Is that one of them?
That's the ace in the hole season.
Okay. That's all we need to know.
That's right. So basically from 4th of July to Halloween, it does not rain in Portland.
Wow.
But from Halloween to the 4th of July, it's like the misters at the fair. It's not like all out rain, but
are the worst.
That never goes away.
Yeah. We put one of those misters in our backyard.
Oh, you did?
On like 4th of July. We had a big party a year ago or so. And so we had these misters up, and it actually just made you feel like you were just like, I mean, you're sweating and you're getting wet,
right.
But you're not swimming. I mean, it was like, I did not enjoy the misters.
So it's kind of cold, but it doesn't get all the way cold. Like it hardly ever snows because you're so close to the coast.
Mm-hmm.
So the like flannel jeans, Doc Martens thing is not just a trend in Portland. Like that's what you want to wear when it's raining and you're walking through mud puddles every day.
That actually sounds so miserable to me.
It's not, but some people don't dig it.
Okay, but now you're in Oklahoma.
Right.
Which is, can we get any more opposite, right?
I don't think, maybe Austin.
Right. So what brought y'all to Oklahoma City?
Well, the mentoring project.
Okay.
So they were looking at expanding to a second office because John and other people on staff were just traveling to this part of the country so much.
Yeah.
Because there was a big upswing in churches and faith communities getting involved in mentoring. So he almost lived on an airplane and thought, you know, it would be great to have another landing spot and another staff we could train to really know a lot of this stuff and be more local resources. Mm-hmm. So they looked at Nashville and Oklahoma City, Dallas. We have a ton of amazing partner churches there. And maybe Cincinnati. This was when I was still like just in the wife phase. I wasn't really tuned in. So I was like, keep me posted if we're moving.
Right.
And so he's like, we're totally not moving. I was like, all right. But Oklahoma City, there were a bunch of churches, a bunch of community leaders, business leaders, acceptance from, you know, local government to really want to do a push towards mentoring. And they presented a package that you just couldn't really say no to. Mm-hmm. They're like, if this, then would you open an office here? And John prayed about it and the board prayed about it and they said yes. And I still didn't think we were moving. And he did, he did commuting for a while. And then that became as nutso as what he was doing before. So we rented a house and we were going to split, which we do a lot. We probably like 60-40, like we were in Portland all summer.
Because it's awesome.
Right. And that's, you know, our legacy there is there. We still got a ton of mentors, staff there, an office there. My people, a lot of them, my old friends are in Portland. There's just nothing like old friends. And, so I love that. But here in Oklahoma City, it's just been so rad what has developed. We have this super unique partnership with the police officers here in Oklahoma City. They have five officers that are on a dedicated gang prevention task force. All these officers do is try to keep kids out of gangs. They don't write tickets. They don't send kids to jail. All they do, they're like the five best police officers maybe in the history of all time.
Yeah, because it's proactive.
Right. It's on the front end. Uh-huh. And so they have this amazing program that they invite kids into. They do the intervention when either someone in the home is jumped into the gang, like a big brother or a big sister or a cousin that spends a lot of time there, or if they're at risk of making, sometimes it's not a choice, but if they're at risk of being in that situation, an officer comes, they set up a meeting with the kid and mom or grandma or the guardian or dad or whomever's in the home, and they say, if you continue making the choices you're making right now, you will be dead or in jail in 6 months, and we want to help you. So the police officers, on Monday night, they have a Northeast Community Center, Tuesday night, Southeast. They're very separate programs, but the kids are invited to the one that's closest to their house. And then if the mom says, yes, I'm okay with having a mentor, then we train, recruit, and match the mentor to the young man or the young woman who is in that program.
That's amazing. So
it's really cool. And we just love it so much. We can't leave Oklahoma City because it's so unique and it's such a powerful program.
So is that a program that is recreatable? The police officers, what they're doing?
Amazing. You should ask that.
Yes. I wasn't even prepped for that question.
That's good. So John and Lieutenant Cubitt, he is speaking at our conference. He spoke last year, and pretty much as long as he's available, he'll speak at anything we do. But they fly, they travel together. They'll be in Los Angeles, I think, in 2 weeks. And they work with churches and police officers who want to create something like this in their community. Wow. And they're building a curriculum a lot like how we teach churches to develop a mentoring program. They are developing a curriculum. Hopefully it'll be out maybe in like 9 months, about how police officers, community organizations, and churches can come together to make a safety net for these high-risk kids.
Well, I want this in Austin.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes.
I would love that.
This is amazing. I love things that are proactive. Like we talk a lot, but they have a foster care initiative at our church. And the way that looks to be proactive is it actually we're keeping kids, obviously helping them. But also one of the main ways that people get into trafficking, women or girls, is through they're like are in foster care and stuff.
Yeah. And Love 146. Rob Morris is going to be speaking at our conference, and he and John work a lot on mentoring as a prevention to trafficking, because like in the foster care system, kids that are not, if they don't have like a full-fledged team keeping tabs on them and checking on them and talking them through decisions and having the best interests of the kid at heart, or young man or young woman, those are prime.
Targets. So vulnerable.
And one of the most just gut-wrenching experiences, John was there, I wasn't, but they in Portland did a lot with trafficking prevention also and mentoring. But they talked with a guy who used to be, I guess, a recruiter. I don't know what you would call, but it was his job to case neighborhoods and find the young girls that think they could develop as targets. And he taught, they were very well organized and they had very specific criteria, but they said they watched for young girls that could come and go as they pleased and nobody knew, like, why aren't you home? Why did you come home at 3 a.m.? Or, you know, like, nobody was keeping track or asking hard questions or doing preventative intervention. And I mean, he had a system, he had a whole staff. It just wanted, I mean, I, it was so disgusting.
That is so disturbing.
It really is. It's so disturbing, but it's so important for those of us that are able to really be watchers in our neighborhood, like find the kids that might slip through the cracks, because somebody has got to be looking out for them.
Yeah. So I have a couple questions for you after what you've told me about what y'all do. You mentioned that girls are, they have an easy time finding mentors.
Right.
And women volunteer more often. Is that why, does your organization specifically target men for mentors? And is it because women just volunteer more often?
Right. So we match men and women, but we target guys trying to send, like, when we, to find other guys that can do mentoring. Yeah. So for instance, we've got a couple rock star mentors that work in the accounting department of a local, really, well, I guess it's not local. It's local here, but it's a national company. But they talk about how it works to be in corporate America and have time to mentor. And they have, you know, some of them go over lunch and some of them have one night a week that they check out of work, you know, at a reasonable time, like 6 o'clock on Tuesday. And then they stay late on another day to kind of compensate for that. But we send the mentors that do a great job. We strategize with them and say, who else in the community is like you that really has eyes for the future of the community and loves leadership ideas? Anyone that's a leadership geek should totally be mentoring, because mentoring is absolute like leadership transformation. But yeah, we're real strategic about trying to find other guys. And usually once they have a buddy or a boss explain to them how important it is, a lot of these guys are good guys and they want to step up to the plate as soon as they're aware of it.
That's amazing.
A lot of them are not aware of mentoring being a need. And we've got some just amazing women who mentor as well.
Yeah.
And we love them. I kind of run with the girl mentors, and John and the other guys on staff here in Oklahoma City run with the guy mentors. And then sometimes everybody comes to our house for pizza.
Yeah. Well, you know, you think about, like, you said that your story was different than John's, and you grew up knowing that you had a place and you had secure and you had people that were for you. And I don't know John's story just a little bit. I think I heard him one time at Verge, but for someone like you and I who grew up, realized not having that void of people cheering for us and caring for us. And people did know if we didn't come home, you know, that kind of thing.
And we were grounded.
Yeah, we were in a lot of trouble. I think for people like us, and I could be wrong here, and this is embarrassing for me to say, but it could be like we don't really realize that there's such a need, because we never had that need. Would you say that would be true?
I think so. And I think those of us who were lucky enough to have two invested parents, I didn't. Let me just say that for me. I did not realize the absolute advantages and additional opportunities and things that were just a part of my everyday life that aren't a part of other people's lives. When, for instance, John's mom had to work 3 jobs to be able to pay the bills. Mm-hmm. And so there weren't a lot of, you know, like family game nights or, you know, let's all go pick apples or, you know, like all this stuff.
Yeah, because she couldn't. She's working.
No.
Yeah.
So, I mean, John, sometimes we laugh. He cooks dinner as much as I do because he's been doing it his whole life. Right. Like he started
cooking dinner. You're hungry, you gotta make your dinner.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, he started cooking before I did because he had to. Make dinner. Right. Or sometimes they would just go out to eat. And but that made him be able to have an amazingly mm-hmm. close relationship with his grandmother. She was the one that picked him up from school and she
invested in him.
Yeah. And his mom is incredible.
She was just doing what she had to do.
But she had to do it.
Yeah.
Because if she's the only one paying the bills.
Yeah.
You got to do the hustle to pay the bills.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it makes me think about the difference in men and women volunteering. And we just sent our oldest son to our students, which is like youth ministry. And I was talking to the student pastor a couple months ago, and they do these things called DCOM. It's like little community groups for mm-hmm. the kids, and they have a leader. And of course, I have never really been involved in the student ministry at our church at all, or cared about it, or had any questions. But now, you know, now I have a kid in there. And so I'm asking him all these questions. And I said, you know, what kind of leader is he going to have? And he's like, man, we need more guy leaders. We have so many girl leaders. And for a second, I was like, oh, well, I'm going to find one because I want my son.
Right.
I want my son to have the best leader because I've seen what that does in kids' lives. But it just made me think there is such a shortage of men that are serving in that capacity. It's crazy.
There are, but they are there if the
opportunity need to know.
Is presented. And
they need to know about it.
Yeah, one of the things we really counsel churches that if, you know, they're just an open book and they want unsolicited advice, and we've met some incredible church leaders that have no ego, they just want to do the best stuff. And though we don't know everything, one of the things we see that works really well is to pair the men's ministry with the youth ministry. And normally, like, the youth are off in another building in these big churches mm-hmm. where they can be loud and be crazy. And then there's the men's pancake breakfast at the crack of smack on Saturday uh-huh. morning. No teenager is awake for a pancake breakfast.
No, not at all.
But we say, like, once a quarter, do events together where what the men's ministry is doing is serving in the youth. Mm. So whether that's a barbecue or a whatever it is, but don't separate everything out in the church by your generational slot.
Yeah.
Because the kids lose out when you do that. Yeah. Like, it's okay for the adults, but the kids really lose out when the adults keep to themselves and they're only ever around, you know, a mass of kids their age and a couple sprinkling of leaders that are adults.
Mm. Okay. I love everything y'all are doing. And I'll put the link up for this conference, even though it'll be long gone by the time this airs. But next year, people can be watching for it.
Yeah, it'll probably be switched over by then. We'll announce. So I'm glad it's not airing yet because it's going to be a surprise
when we announce that it's going to be in Portland. Yay!
But by the time this airs, the secret will be out of the bag. And then tickets will be for sale and we'll be gearing up for next year. And we're just so blessed by, I think we have folks from 26 states and 5 countries coming in.
That's so wonderful.
Yeah, and they're just the people that want to give their life to giving kids opportunities. And it's so rad to meet that many people that are so selfless and they have ideas and passion and leadership and then they become friends. Mm-hmm. We saw a guy last year. He had just retired from corporate America. He and his friend came down from Indiana. Ironically, Shannon Martin is the one who sent me the newspaper Flower Patch Farm Girl.
Oh, yeah, she's been on the show.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're new friends. We met when I interviewed her.
Well, you guys will be
friends. I love her to death. Yeah, oh, my gosh. We'll and we're going to be at a conference this fall, so I'm excited. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Shannon Martin.
Anyway, she sent us this newspaper clipping. I would have never seen it, but a guy from Indiana came to our conference last year and just really got inspired about mentoring. And so he came out of retirement and took over his local Big Brothers Big Sister chapter that was kind of, you know, needing some new leadership mm-hmm. and needing some new donors. And now that's what he's doing full time. And it's so neat to think that.
That is crazy.
I know. So we never know
no.
really what mm-hmm. happens when, like, the Lord inspires someone to care about kids. But we just love doing the background hustle to set up the opportunity where they can hear from all these great speakers and practitioners and find ways that they can invest in their community.
That's so great. Erin and I just went recently to a Big Brothers Big Sister like fundraiser.
Yeah.
And so it was so wonderful just to see everybody in the community gather around that organization that's doing this kind of stuff. So great stuff. Okay, guys, by now you've heard me talk about my love for Noonday Collection a lot. I love their jewelry, but what I really love about Noonday is how this business is making an impact around the world. One of the ways that Noonday is making an impact is by connecting women to community that is passionate about changing the world. Last year, I had the chance to go to Shine, which is Noonday's annual ambassador conference. And guys, I met Noonday ambassadors from across the country, and I was so inspired. Literally, I told Jessica, I love your people. Let me tell you that they're just amazing. And my question for you is, do you want to join a community of women who share a passion for changing the world? And do you want to connect women in your community with an opportunity to make a difference? Well, guys, if you do, Noonday Collection is looking for more women who are passionate about making an impact. So what are you waiting for? You can launch a business as a Noonday ambassador today. And then you can come to the Shine Conference and I'll see you and meet you there. I'll be there again. But guys, really, you can start today. You'll love being a part of the Noonday community. And right now they have an exclusive offer for Happy Hour listeners who sign up to become a Noonday ambassador. So visit thehappyhour.noondaycollection.com for all the details. And I personally would love to cheer you on if you become a Noonday ambassador. Okay, back to my conversation with Carrie. Okay, Carrie, I want to ask you about something else.
Yes.
I read, and you may have told me this as well, that you are into gardening.
Yes.
Okay. Now, it doesn't. No, that's what I was going to say. It doesn't sound like you just plant a couple flowers or you just grow a couple of vegetables. It sounds like you love it.
I do. I love it so much. And I come from multi generations of gardeners, but I wasn't really into it myself till I was an adult. But my earliest memories with my grandma were sitting on the back porch, each of us in rocking chair, like snapping beans, or like hulling peas or boiling up the lima beans that she just grew. So it has a lot of, it's very connective to me. And for people who are garden geeks, you know that you can either do cuttings or you can take seeds from someone else's plant or you can re-root something. And so between my mom's yard and my yard, we have, my grandmother has been in heaven for a long time, but we have some of her plants and not even from her house. And we have, you know, this rosebush from, you know, Aunt Rosamond and these things from Aunt Bobby, and the cosmos in my yard are from my mom. And, you know, so it's just, to me, we don't live close to family. And so it's kind of a little reminder of all the people I love and the people who love me when I'm out in the yard. But I started in Los Angeles. We lived downtown, and the place we lived, we got a big chunk of the roof that they let me just do whatever with. So I started, I did trees. I did all kinds of stuff up there on the roof. And it's so great to garden in Los Angeles. You have so much sun.
Yeah.
And then when we moved to Portland, our church that we were a part of, you may know, we were a part of Bread and Wine, and I don't know if you know Duke and Caroline Rivard.
I don't.
You guys would all love each other because you're all really into community building and stuff. But one of the things we did as a community, there was a church that had this huge lawn. I mean, just huge lawn that all they were doing is paying someone to mow it. And they let us, they asked us, like, do you have any ideas for what you could do with that? And so I ended up starting a community garden. It was like a teaching garden where Thursday mornings I did garden classes and folks could come and learn how to garden. And then any of the kids in the neighborhood that didn't have a lot of fresh grocery opportunities or a lot of fast food restaurants and gas stations, those were kind of their only choices. If they came by the garden, we let them take whatever they wanted, like take all the tomatoes you want.
That sounds so much fun.
Like whatever you want. They loved it.
Like, okay,
they,
so everything you just said, plot of land, garden, classes, let everyone take all the vegetables. I want to be that, but I am not that and have no idea how to do that. But it sounds so appealing. It sounds mm-hmm. like just the most wonderful thing ever to walk outside and get your food.
It's so great. And you could be that by next year.
Well, like, here's the thing, Carrie. I want to hear your encouragement for me because I want to be that. But I've tried.
It's your dirt.
I'm failing.
It's your problem.
Okay, good. I can tell Aaron something because I've been begging for a garden forever. And he's like, no, you kill everything. No, you kill everything. And I keep telling him, but I think I'm not getting everything right.
Well, it's if you don't have good dirt, I don't care what you do.
Nothing's growing.
Nothing's growing.
Okay, I'm going to tell him that.
Yeah. So I work a lot on my dirt, maybe as much as my garden. So I'm big into composting. So it's easy. It's just like kitchen scraps,
yeah.
coffee grounds. You don't want any like oil or butter or uh-huh. meat or that would, it turns nasty.
Yeah.
But I have this huge trash can that I got at Lowe's or Home Depot or something. And I got a drill and I probably drilled like 60 holes in it, but it was like a $14 trash can. I'm so cheap.
Okay.
You drill all these holes in it so you can aerate what you have.
So like on the sides?
Or, yes.
Or just the bottom?
And the bottom and the top, all of it.
Everywhere, okay.
Everywhere, because you want air to circulate in
there.
Or
it'll be gross, okay.
Right. And you don't want to put it close to like where your kids are playing because it will be, if you do it right, it's full of bugs. So,
okay, okay. But,
and then your newspapers, your paper grocery sacks, the random solicitations you get in the mail and nobody can stop no matter what they do.
You put them in there?
You put them in there. Not glossy.
Okay.
The flat paper.
Okay.
Not glossy. But then over time you build your soil and you, in the fall and in the spring, you, what's called turning it, you get a shovel and you just.
Because I'm stupid here, so I'm asking questions. All of that food and paper you just put in there.
Right.
You add that to your soil or that turns into soil?
Both.
Okay.
Wow. So I just dumped mine, I think like last weekend that I started last fall.
Okay. So it's a while.
Right.
And there are,
yeah. And there's a lot of fancy books on composting and you can do a lot of fancy things. Like you can get a compost tumbler and there's so many fancy things you can do. I don't.
Okay.
I just leave it alone for a year.
Does it stink?
Not really.
Okay.
But it will stink if you don't have enough paper. You kind of want a 50-50 ratio.
I see.
To paper to food.
Okay.
That is, but it just, the bottom, we just turned it upside down and the bottom half looks like dirt and the top part still looks like strawberries and eggshells and all that stuff.
And so then you mix that in with your soil.
Right. And then since you're going to be, it's going to be winter anyway,
mm-hmm.
you just, I dig it down. So the part that still looks like food, I put it at the bottom of my raised beds
mm-hmm.
and I kind of like rotate everything that already is dirt over on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that way the rats and okay. mice or whatever else that are out in the world,
mm-hmm.
Leave it alone.
Okay. And then when do you plant your vegetables in the spring?
Right.
Okay.
Some of them I start in January, but I start them inside my house.
Yeah. See that, I like, this all sounds appealing. And then when I get to the part when they're like, start this in your house and then move it and then move it. And I start to think, it's too much. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it.
It is work. But you have to have a love affair with gardening. You have to be okay with a 30% loss rate. Like even the best gardener in the world is going to lose 30% if you're doing organic.
Okay. See, I wouldn't say I have a love affair with gardening. It's something that I see people do that I think I want and I want the outcome. I think I need some success in my life. For this,
right.
You know, like I have not been successful with anything. So my 30% failure rate is more at 100
okay.
right now. I've got a 100% failure rate. And so I'm losing. But it's my soil.
Texas, it is hot.
It is hot.
Is probably your soil. And then some of your stuff, like we were here a lot and things were doing well. And we went to Portland and a friend watered my garden. And then we came back and then we went back to Portland. But the second time we went back to Portland, I didn't have someone assigned to really help me out.
Take care of it, yeah.
Yeah. And everything burned up. Like it looked like someone set fire to my garden. And I'm in Oklahoma, not even Texas. Yeah. You're hotter, way hotter. So it is hard to have like full sun on your plants.
Okay.
It's kind of intense.
Well, I do think that I'm going to give this another go round. So I'm not going to give up. I'm going to give another go round.
Buy plant starts. Like don't deal with starting the plants in your house.
Yeah.
Just go to your local nursery, buy the stuff you like to eat, like tomatoes, basil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that you can just grow from the grocery store, and that's hilarious to watch it happen. Like celery, I don't even know what the true name of the bottom of the celery, but you know the part you cut off, it's kind of white and
tough. Yeah, can you plant it and it grows up?
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
So that's how I plant celery every year. Same with sweet potatoes or regular potatoes. If you leave them in the pantry for a few weeks, they'll start to sprout.
Yeah.
Throw that in the dirt.
Oh my gosh.
New potatoes.
We love potatoes around here.
Girl, sweet potatoes. I live for those.
Sweet potatoes for the win. Okay, well, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep pushing forward with my garden.
Keep doing it. But you have to pay attention to the dirt.
I'm going to be on the dirt this time.
Yeah, and good dirt can be really expensive. So just conquer feed one little section of dirt. Unless you just want to like roll out big with the dirt.
I'm going to start small.
Yeah, start small. Yeah. Get some really, really healthy dirt. You could put Epsom salt in there. You could put eggshells in there. Kind of anything you would want to eat if you were pretend you're vegan.
Uh-huh.
Anything you would eat if you were vegan can probably go in your soil.
Okay, that's a good way because I always am remembering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except the fake cheese, like that.
Yeah,
kind of
that's,
stuff.
Yeah. But yeah. Okay.
If Jesus made it and a vegan would eat it, your garden loves it.
I love that. If Jesus made it and a vegan would eat it, your garden will love it. I love it. That's a great. That should be a sign.
There you go.
Okay. Speaking of signs, I saw that you wrote something the other day on Facebook and I want to ask you about it.
I have no idea. What did I write?
This is good. You said, don't ask for permission. Do your thing and get their attention.
Yeah.
I was like, dang, what is that? I love it.
I don't know. I just had the thought. I thought it would share it. So I'm glad you liked it. But
I did.
I talked to I love mentoring young women who are entrepreneurs and trying to start a business. That's just like, man, I love, those are my people. So a lot of the young women I work with, they stop themselves before they even really get going because they want someone, quote unquote, who matters to tell them it's a great idea, or they don't want to do something because somebody else is already good at it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just really felt, you know, that's not the metric. You don't need to wait for someone to notice you and crown you and say, I deem you worthy of this. But I think someone who has a passion and they're willing to do the work should just get out there and do the work. Hmm. Like, do it different and get, instead of asking for permission of whoever it is that you admire, like, go do something so awesome you get their attention.
Yeah. Do you think that women struggle with this more than men do?
I think so.
I do too.
And I have a lot of guesses on why, but I don't want to just pontificate forever. But I think culturally, and even more so in the South, I have a mother from the deep South and she was not this way, but when we visited, I saw a lot of almost being socialized to stay in the background big party settings or, as far as
to be seen and not be heard.
There. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like don't just put it out there what you want to do or, you know, be okay. I've had to learn how to be okay to make other people uncomfortable if it's really the thing I want to stand for.
Right. And
I had to learn that skill as an adult. And maybe other girls learned that long before I did. But that was a big transition for me, that if I want to be in any kind of leadership, I've got to be okay to make people uncomfortable if it's the thing I'm staking my life on.
Yeah. You know, I've seen that too, and I've seen it in my personal life looking like this. We're in a world where everything is at our fingertips. Anything anybody wants to do, they can put it out and you can see it within 3 seconds. Everything is out there. I have come to terms with this and struggled for a long time of like, well, why would I do this? Because this person's already doing it really well.
Right.
And someone, or why would I write about this? Because who wants to read this? They already talked about it. And I remember someone told me one time, but it's not in your voice. It's not your words. It's not your heart. And so then I was like, that's right. You know, like, okay, so we're saying the same message, the same thing, but it's not, it's me.
Right.
Yeah.
And you would do it differently. Like, think if Facebook never happened because there was already MySpace.
Right.
Or yeah. MySpace never happened because there was always already Friendster.
Yeah.
And, you know, like whoever we admire, we look up to and we think, oh, wow, whatever they're doing, somebody was doing it before them.
Yep.
But
there are no new ideas.
No.
Yeah.
But there are like a new spin on the same idea.
Right. And it's your words. And it's your spin on it. Right. Yes.
And people, I mean, just not everyone is going to connect with, I mean, a given author or a business or a church or a, you know, new business idea, whatever it is, it's even the best is not for everyone. Yeah. Like, there are people that don't wear Nike shoes.
Yep.
There are.
And you would think that that's like the best, you know? Yeah.
Cause then there's also, you know, and then there's all different grades, like going back to the gardening analogy, there are, you know, some gardening ideas that are for people that don't want to put any, you know, put much time into it. And then there's a whole nother industry for people that it is like it's like they're cat ladies for gardening. I'm kind of in that space, but like, the like uber gardener would love this, but the average, I have more of a life person is not going to go for it.
Yeah. That's going to be me with the gardening.
Right, so you know. That's great. That's
in
great.
Case you didn't pick that up earlier from our conversation, that's the category I would fall under. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I just read that and I was like, I love that so much because I think that that is something that we need to hear, especially women, but everybody and young girls coming up as well. Like, don't think that there isn't a space for you. I hear people say like, oh, I want to start a podcast, but there's like people already doing a podcast like I want to do. I'm like, okay, start a podcast. There is a table big enough for everybody to do
there
podcasts.
There really is.
You know? Yeah. So.
And I love the idea, instead of like pulling away from the people that are already doing the podcasts in that example, like lean in, to borrow Sheryl Sandberg's word, but lean into the network community, because most, be it podcasting or mentoring or, you know, starting a new business, the community wants to support other innovators. Like, they welcome them and they want to say, hey, it took me a year to figure this out, but here you go. Free tip.
Exactly.
Do this.
Yeah.
This will save time.
Because someone did it for me.
Right.
Yep. So good stuff. You're just full of good stuff today, Carrie.
I'm glad you're doing your podcast.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, we're almost done here, but we didn't even mention that you have two girls. I mean, we mentioned you had a babysitter, but.
Yes, I have twins, little 4-year-old honeys that just got a piano for their birthday.
So awesome. Are they taking lessons? Or are they just banging away?
Here's my secret strategy. I think they have music deep in their soul. And so I want to make sure it doesn't become something to do or to fight. Mm-hmm. Like, I want that to be there for them to express themselves. So the angle we're taking is, right now they're just playing on it. And as long as they are not banging with all their might, pretty much everything's okay. Mm-hmm. But I think I am going to take lessons again. And I'm going to have them watch me sit and practice. And when I'm practicing and they want to play, I'll say, I'm sorry, it's not your turn right now. This is mama's turn on the piano. You can have it later. And like, do the reverse psychology.
Yeah, I like this. I'm sitting here in my mind thinking, what could I do this with my kids for? Like, what could I reverse? Like,
right.
But then I'm also thinking there's nothing I want to do that I need them to do. It's like, sorry, you can't use my computer. I'm doing my homework right now.
You know? Exactly. Right. So but I hope they will play. I hope John's mom is an amazing pianist. She is just incredible. And that's through both talent and hard work. And I've got some other musicians in the family, but I really hope it becomes a thing for them.
I do too. I hope some of my kids are musical as well, because I have zero musical skills, but their dad does. So.
Yeah, I have none. Yeah, he's got great stuff.
Yeah, great skills over there. So we too are like, everyone, they'll ask like, are your kids like singing or playing instruments? And we really haven't like pushed our kids into anything. Like we do sports, right. but we do like the easy ones that have the practice right. on the same day as the game, you know?
Exactly. That's my speed.
We're pretty chill about all that because that's I think awesome. I could be unchill about it with sports. Right. I could be like, we could be on traveling teams and stuff, but Aaron's like, we have four kids and that's not our life. So
I would do it.
We're just chill with it, but we're chill with music too. So we're just that's letting cool. them find their way.
I think that's good. Cause you know, I believe we all want to create, so I don't want to like oversee their process, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're just trying to introduce them to a lot of ways to be creative, mm-hmm. and then we'll just see, you know, like what puts little stars in their eyes.
Yeah.
And then go that way.
Okay. I want to have you back on again and talk about what you just said, that you believe that we all want to create.
Yeah, I think we do.
Okay. I'm going to think on that, and I want to talk yeah. about that because that's interesting because I've always – we don't have time, but I've always been like, I'm not a creative person.
But you are. You have a podcast.
Well, this is like the first thing that I've yeah. built like with my hands that I'm proud of and that I do. And so I'm like, well, maybe I am creative. But I've never – I think of creative as like you write a song or you paint.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so for right. the first time ever, and I'm 37, I kind of thought – well, maybe I am.
You totally are. I think we all are. And that's,
I like that thought.
I think that's why Pinterest took over the world. It like, it found that little hidden artist in all of us.
Yeah.
And even if we can't do it, we want to.
That's you know? Me with the gardening. I want to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want it. I have all my stuff penned for my garden one day.
Yes, I love it. I need to go to your board and just like pen away then. I love new garden ideas.
Oh, so fun. Okay, Carrie, I have loved talking with you today.
Oh, me too. I hope I get to see you again soon in Austin.
Yes. Are you coming down anytime soon?
That's what I was just thinking. I feel like I am, but I can't think of anything right now. Like in my head, I think I'm coming there in November, but I don't know why.
Okay, well, come on down and we'll yeah. be together.
I would love it.
I'm not coming to Oklahoma City anytime soon.
That's all right.
I'm bummed to say that. I wish I was coming to Portland.
Come.
Aaron says that's going to be like one of our getaways because he's been several times, of course. And so he just raves at how much I love it. So,
dude, come hungry. That is the biggest foodie town.
We're food. We love to eat. Oh, we love good food.
Every meal. And it's I would say of like, you know, total foodie towns. And I don't know Austin as well. I know that's a big foodie town. Yeah. But it's so reasonable, too.
Okay,
you know,
that's
like
good, yes.
Every time you get the ticket, we're like, is that it?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, that's good. Because awesome. There's nothing like going to eat an amazing restaurant where you get amazing food, but you're still kind of hungry and you just yeah. pay $200.
Right. And it was like your grocery bill.
Right. In one meal. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's always sad.
It always is sad. Okay. Well, Carrie, thanks for chatting. I hope thanks that your conference goes amazing. Oh,
thanks.
Or was, next I should year. Say, was amazing since this will air after. And then next year, maybe people that are listening will want to join you.
I would love it. And you should come.
I would love that. Oh, my gosh. I love all of these things that you just talked about. And I want the police force here in Austin.
Yeah, let's do, like, for real.
I really want that.
About 9 months from now, we should have a pretty, you know, like, approachable curriculum for that.
And everyone that's listening is like, I want that in my town, too. Yes.
No, it's really been cool. It's been a total God thing. And the police officers were doing the work long before we got here.
You're just stepping up beside them.
Yeah. We mm-hmm. were able to bring the adults in from the community in like a predictable, you know, like a large scale, predictable way. And yeah. It's been awesome.
Okay. Well, I love your stuff. Thanks for chatting with me. I hope your conference goes wonderful. Enjoy your rest of your day.
Thank you, and yeah. you too. And hey, if I ever do come down to Austin, we'll play in your yard. We'll get your garden set up.
Oh my gosh, that'd be the best. So I'll fun. Have my compost ready for you.
Okay, good. All your smelly food
yes,
stuff.
Yes. All right, bye, Carrie.
Bye-bye.
Guys, when Carrie mentioned that we are all creatives, that really has rocked my world since the day we did this interview. I seriously love this girl and all her wisdom that she brings to us women in the world. Today's show is also sponsored by She Does Justice. She Does Justice is a lifestyle brand that empowers women to make a difference. It started as an adoption fundraiser and grew into a community that is passionate about giving back. Each month, 10% of She Does Justice's gross sales go towards 5 different initiatives. Those initiatives are supporting adoption, empowering young women, healthcare in Africa, orphan prevention, and fighting sex trafficking. The best part about the whole deal is that you get to choose where the portion of your purchase goes. so you're empowered to make a difference right from your computer. Right now, She Does Justice is excited to offer all Happy Hour listeners free shipping with the promo code HAPPYHOUR. The shop is full of stylish and affordable tees and accessories. Happy holiday shopping. Remember, any books that we talk about on Happy Hour, you can find at jamieivy.com/happyhourbooks. Also, anything we chatted about, if you need a link to it or whatever, I always put it up at jamieivy.com. Guys, I'd also love to hear from you. Find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Tell me what you love from the show. What do you love about Carrie? Connect with her. She's so fabulous. She'd love to hear from you. Today's show is edited by Knox McCoy, and the music is from Austin Stone Worship's A Day of Glory Christmas album that you can find on iTunes. Next week, my guest is Debbie Eaton, who really encouraged me in journaling and quiet moments, and you're going to really love her wisdom that she brings to the table. Guys, if you live in America, happy Thanksgiving. If you don't, well, then just happy November 25th. Only 4 more shows for the Happy Hour in 2015, and they are good ones. I cannot wait for you to hear all my guests coming up. I'm super excited about what 2016 holds for the Happy Hour. Thank you guys for listening, for sharing, for leaving reviews on iTunes. You are seriously the best, and the reason I do this show every week is for you. Enjoy your week, share the show with a girlfriend, and have a Happy Hour with a friend. I will see you next week with my friend Debbie Eaton. Bye, guys.